You're listening to a sermon of Meadowbrook Church in Ocala, Florida. For more media resources, visit us online at www.nbcocala.com.
Well, I want to continue on a series this morning. Anybody know what this is called? Main Things. Good. Y'all are the A group, I can tell. Main Things. And so we're talking about some main things. We are unpacking the Meadowbrook Mandate. If you don't have this book, get this book. It is free to you. And it will help you. It's also, we have a podcast of it online that you can get and download. And while you're driving around, I'll read it to you, you know. But this is important because we need to know. We need to know what it is that we're about and get this across to you and get this in our hearts and our minds about real, what we're focused on doing. And I've got to keep it before you. And some of the experts, so to speak, in vision casting say that you need to keep casting it and keep casting it and keep casting it and getting it in front of the people to the point where the leader is almost tired of telling people. And when you get to that place, they're just starting to get it. So we're going to keep pointing this out every way that we can. These four things that we're to be involved with: the Lord, the church, the world, the poor. The Lord, high and lifted up. The Lord, high and lifted up. The church, really becoming the church that Jesus intended, growing and maturing and fruitful. And thirdly is the world, that we would be salt and light, that we would take Christ into culture. And then fourthly, the poor, local and global. And we're going to be getting involved more and more ways through that, because those are all outgrowths of what happens. But we've got to get first things first and some main things. So let me talk about the main thing, and that is this, that you must have one God and worship Him only. One God and worship Him only. The God, worship Him only. The one who delivered us from Egypt, as it says in the Ten Commandments. That's the one God, Jehovah God, one God. Don't limit your life by worshiping something stupid that man made. You know, and sometimes you're going to worship. We are worshipers, and you're going to end up worshiping something. Why don't you worship the real one, the one God? And this is the main thing. And if you get this down, that's the root issues. That will take care of the fruit issues of your life. So many problems that people are having in their life, temptations, areas of struggle, they have those because they don't have the root issues taken care of. You take care of the root issues, the fruit issues will fall into place. And then last week we looked that not only are we to have one God and worship Him only, but we are also to glorify Him. And we can take notes from Jesus. Jesus said in John 17:4, He said, I have glorified you, Father, by doing the work that you gave me to do. And the work that the Father gave him to do, we see this, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Come on, church, I need you with me all morning here. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then Jesus said this. He says, as you have sent me, I have also sent them. So his mission is our mission. Go ahead and say that. His mission is our mission. And I want you, just a little time out right here. I'm believing God. I've been having a little bit of throat and voice problems. And yesterday was really, really rough. But while I was studying and praying, I'm telling you, there was such heat, so to speak, in the message. I knew God would help me today. And He's doing that. So I'm going ahead and warning you, there's some heat in this message, okay? So Let's get fresh off the griddle for us. So if we're going to glorify God, then His mission is our mission. Our mission also is to seek and save that which is lost. We talked about ends, means, reversion, and sometimes we get the end mixed up. And here's what a lot of Christians do. Listen to me. A lot of Christians think the end of this all is to be a better Christian. You know, that's the whole goal of the whole thing, is just so I can be a better Christian. So I can gather with my other better Christians and we can just sing and prophesy and dance in a circle. And then go home and stay away from all those other people, because our whole goal is to stay lily white and be a better Christian. And I think you need to guard yourself and so forth, and you should not forsake the assembling of yourselves with other believers. But the end of this, that's the means. That every day, that's why we're in the Word. That's why we pray. That's why we get to church. That's why you pray, God, break my heart for the people around me. so that we can help to seek and save that which is lost, not form some kind of holy huddle, some kind of little religious clique. But that we're here because His mission is our mission. What's really going to glorify God is not you and I just becoming better Christians. What's really going to glorify Him is that we pick up His mission and we are here to be salt and light and to seek and save that which is lost. Amen. Now, first item in the Meadowbrook mandate is the Lord high and lifted up. Will you say that with me? The Lord high and lifted up. Now, I want you to get that in your thinking, so say it again. The Lord high and lifted up. We read in Psalm 34, verse 3, it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt." Everybody say exalt. Let us exalt His name together. The word exalt there, the Hebrew word room, and it means to lift, to hold high, to thrust or even heave high. And the psalmist is saying we've got to lift the Lord up and make Him high. Not that He's not already, but it's in our vantage point and from our hearts and our minds and our approach. Isaiah 25:1, it says, "O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You." Same word again. "I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Isaiah also said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." And this is what we've got to make a priority, a main thing. Are y'all here? It's a main thing for us here at Meadowbrook and in your individual life is that the Lord is to be high and lifted up. Have you worshiped in your home? I mean, you need to be, I mean, every molecule of atmosphere in your home needs to know that a believer lives there, that God is number one in their life, and that the Lord is high and lifted up in your home. I mean, it just needs to be known that that's what you're about. The Lord high and lifted up in your individual life. And when we come together, it's not church as usual. I resist that with everything about me. But the Lord, main thing, everybody say main thing. When we come together, the Lord is high and He's lifted up in this place. Let me kind of put it to you this way. I don't know if you believe in Martians or not or anything like that, okay? But if there were Martians or some kind of space aliens and one or two of them came to just kind of check out, what is this building? Because we keep picking up on our little radar some heat coming from this building. So we got to go see what that is. And so a couple of them come in, they kind of hide out in the rafters. And they stay here for a couple of weeks and they watch a few services and then they go back to their mothership. And they're debriefed at that point and they go, so what is this Meadowbrook thing? And they say, you know, whoever this Jesus guy is, they are stuck on Jesus, 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 Jesus. They gather in His name. They sing songs about Him. They lift up their hands. They talk about Him. They pray to Him. They read about Him. They teach about Him. They love Him. They try to act like Him. That's what we want. I said, that's what we want. Amen. In our lives and in Meadowbrook Church. The Lord high and lift up. It requires an attitude and it requires an anointing. How many of you have ever had an attitude? How many of you got one now? Okay. But I'm talking about an attitude of resolve that I will not be deterred from this. There's so many things to distract. There's so many things to take away. There's so many things to try to get your attention and detour you and so forth as far as making the Lord high and lifted up. But I want to tell you, as a church, and I'm speaking as a pastor and hear me on this, we have an attitude about this, that the Lord will be high and lifted up. And that means we're going to honor Him in all that we do. We're going to honor Him in all that we do, which really boils down to this, wholehearted excellence. We're going to do the very best that we can with everything all the time, because after all, who is this for? Who is this for? This is for the Lord. Come on, this is for the Lord. And what we do in His name, you better do right. And so there's an attitude that we just won't negotiate on this. You know, I've had people over the years pretty consistently, new to the church, and I'll greet them at the door or in, you know, a store or a restaurant or somewhere, and they'll go, "Thank you for the excellence that is at Meadowbrook. Thank you that you study hard. Thank you that people work hard. Thank you that we do it." And you know what? This is always my answer. It just kind of catches me flat-footed. I didn't know it was optional. You know, shouldn't we be doing things in excellence? I mean, should we just go, it's just for church, just for Jesus? No, I'm telling you what, we had better give our very best. And we need to have an attitude about doing that. Amen. Also need to have an anointing to do that. And by anointing, I mean this, that our power source is other than ourself. That it would be God, it would be His Holy Spirit that would give us the power, the creativity, the insight, the endurance to be able to do what we need to do as a church to so impact as far as we can reach. But every time that we come together, that the Lord would be high and lifted up. Amen. I want to share with you three things this morning. And I'll write these out and involves a couple big words. So you're already praying for me. So keep praying. First one is this. The centrality of Christ. What is the root word of centrality? Central. Jesus would be central. And Jesus, you know, there's other Jesus. We're talking about Jesus Christ. I mean, right now in the Major League Baseball, there's about six Jesus that play on teams. You know, I want Jesus on our team. You know, and we're not talking about just a name, Jesus. We're talking about Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the deliverer. Okay? That's our Jesus. Listen, He's the one. This is all about Him. We gather together in His name. And Jesus is not just an additive for our life. You don't just add a little Jesus into your life. He has to be central. Y'all with me? Central. And when we come together, we're not just going to have some events and some activities. He has to be central with everything that we do if we're going to have Him high and lifted up. Listen to me. We're going to teach, preach, praise, worship, sing, give, work, serve, celebrate the person and the work of Jesus. And like the first church in the book of Acts, we're going to live by a faith in a risen Jesus, which means nothing is impossible. We need to understand nothing is impossible. Y'all aren't getting this. Nothing is impossible. How can you say that? Because our faith is in a resurrected Savior. They saw Him walking around. They saw Him crucified. Then they saw Him walking around. That changed everything. That changed everything. Nothing is impossible. We'll follow Him. Sign me up. I'm following the dead guy that's now walking. Okay, Jesus. That's who we're following. And when we have faith in a risen Jesus, then nothing is impossible. And we've got a lot of work to do, but it's not impossible because of our faith in Him. Pastor Mark Driscoll, he pastors Mars Hill Church in Seattle. He said this, and I love this quote. He says, "We cannot say Jesus' name often enough. We cannot preach Jesus' gospel passionately enough. And we cannot sing Jesus' praises loud enough." And that's what we're talking about. And when a group of people will do this, when we're sold out to this, when we will make sure that the centrality of Christ and the Lord is high and lifted, I'm going to promise you, when we gather together, His presence, His power is going to show up big time and things are going to happen in our lives. Amen. Now, second of all, the authority of Scripture. Go ahead and say that. That gave me time to finish. The authority of Scripture. That means that we honor and respect God's Word. We honor and we respect God's Word. And we believe that this is God's Word. And we believe that this is God speaking to us. And some people get so hung up on, well, God is sovereign. He absolutely is sovereign. But He has limited Himself to His sovereign Word. And you're going to know how God's going to work and what God thinks about things and what the bottom line of things is according to His Word. And around here, be it known, and in my life, be it known, that the final authority is the Word of God. Proverbs 4:20 and 22 through 22. It said, "My son, give attention." Everybody say, "Give attention." Give attention. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they're life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul said, till I come, give attention. There it is again. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, look at this. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God. I'm going to hold up there just for a moment. I'm working right now on a master's program, which requires me to read about 1,200 to 1,500 pages a month that I'm having to read, plus things I'm having to write. And I'm actually thoroughly enjoying it for the most part. And that's a lot of reading. And with the reading, though, there's some books that you read and they go. I mean, they move and it makes sense and it feels right and you learn. And there's other books you go, this is torture. Hand me the Dallas phone book. I'd rather read that. And there's good books, and then there's other books, and there's books that really speak to you. Some of the books, it's like there's incredible content, but it's just so thick, I got to reread and reread and reread. Okay, I think I got part of it, you know? And it's just cumbersome that way. But I want you to know something. This book is inspired by God. It has life in it. And it's not just a good book. It's the number one bestseller of all times. But this is a God-breathed, inspired book. I wrote this in, let me finish this passage. All scripture is inspired by God. And it's useful. Everybody say useful. Useful. Now follow this carefully. This is what it's useful for. To teach us what is true. And it's useful to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. All right, hold up. How many of you would reckon there might be something wrong in your life? How many might would guess there might be something wrong in your life? Now, I've told you this before. One of the best things that can happen to you is to find out what's wrong with you. I've used this illustration. If you go to golf lessons and all they do is take your check and tell you you're awesome, what you need is somebody to say, oh, no, hold up, you're standing wrong, you're holding it wrong, you're thinking wrong, you're looking wrong. No wonder you're sorry. I'm going to charge you more. But if you're going to improve, that's the best thing that could happen to you, is to find out what's wrong with you. The light of Scripture will show you what's wrong with you. Let me keep reading. It corrects us when we are wrong. And teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people. Watch carefully. Uses it to prepare and equip his people to become better Christians. Know what? To do every good work. To do every good work. The authority of Scripture. I quote this directly from the Meadowbrook Mandate. We are not to follow what politicians are promising. What think tanks are promoting, what groups are saying, and what social surveys are citing. God's Word, the Holy Scripture, is the final authority for our lives. It's the bottom line. It's the main thing. Folks, this is where we get our worldview. How do we look at this crazy world? How do we understand what's going on? How do we make decisions? How do we fill in the blanks? You're going to have to look through this lens. I did a whole 6-week teaching called Filter, where I talk about developing a biblical worldview. You've got to have the Bible in your life. You've got to have the Bible in your heart. You've got to have it in your mind. You've got to have daily exposure to and intake of the Word of God. Daily. Did y'all hear me? Daily. You're going to have it. You'll have your daily dose of news. You need to make sure you've got more of a dose of the Word of God. And I promise you, I guarantee you, every time you come here, we're going to have messages, preaching, teaching that is solidly based and centered in the authority of the Scripture. Amen. Now, thirdly, check my spelling here. Here's a big word. Exuberant. Everybody say exuberant. Exuberant worship. What's the root word of exuberant? I don't know either. I think that we exube. Let's just take the worship part. We'll come back to exuberant here in just a moment. Exuberant worship. Go ahead and say it. Because I want this to be something else that the Martians report. Okay? Listen to me, Meadowbrook Church. I want this to be known of us. Not that there's any kind of tournament or contest, but because of who we serve and because what we're called to do in this place, there needs to be, let there be exuberant worship in this place. Now let's talk about worship just for a second. We sing essentially when we come together. That's not the only forms of worship, but that's the best group activity. Because when we come together, keyword together, we want to make sure that who is high and lifted up? The Lord is high and lifted up. And the tendency, if you don't define this, and I'll give you ground rules in just a second, they're really easy. If you don't define this, then people are going to do their own thing. And Paul warned about it in Scripture, it's going to create confusion. He said there's supposed to be peace and there's supposed to be edification, not everybody doing their own thing. So when we worship together, when we come together, typically we'll do it through praise and through worship. And we do it that way because that keeps us all together. Now, as a group, you never draw attention to yourself. These are the ground rules, okay? It's real easy. And you don't distract other people. I mean, you don't work up your little tambourine dance number to come in when the rest of the group is doing something else, because you know what? It's about Jesus. It's not about your tambourine dance number. Now, if you got that number and it's awesome and you want to do it before the Lord, do it before the Lord. Because I've had people say, well, I just want to express myself in certain ways to the Lord. And I said, and that is absolutely fine, but go do it by yourself. Because it's about Jesus here. It's about Jesus here, about lifting him up. And so we don't distract other people. You don't draw attention to yourself. You stay with the group and you follow the leader. That's all there is to it. And the rest of it is we focus in on Jesus. Amen. And we don't use hymnals. We sing hymns sometimes, but we don't use hymnals. And the number one reason is this. Because I want your hands free. Plus, after a while, hymnals start to smell up the room. You just get that old book. Anyway, I keep moving. And some people, it just floors me sometimes. Well, at my other church and the church I come from and my last church, and I just have to remind you, you're not there. You're here. To constantly talk about my other church, my last church, let me just tell you, how many of y'all are married? Okay, put your hands down. And I won't ask for hands on this. But if any of you are married and this is your second marriage, and you start talking about my last wife and my last husband, how many of you know that's not going to go good? That's not going to go good. They're going to say, well, why don't you go back to your... Anyway, I digress. Exuberant. Everybody say exuberant. It means filled with lively energy, excitement, vitality, joyful, enthusiastic, as opposed to lifeless or unexcited. You know what? Really, honestly, this happens to me. When I see people that are lifeless and unexcited in worship, it means one of two things. Listen to me. Either means that they don't get it or they don't have it. And I'm trying to help you to get it and have it. That we realize, hey, this is not, you're just going to sing for a while. I don't sing. I'm a man. Then sing like a man and worship the man. The most famous, well-paid people in the world are men who will sing. Not that you're going to get paid, but the reward is incredible. I'm just telling you, I need the men to step forward. I need everybody to say, when we come in here, it's exuberant worship because of who we're worshiping and because he's what he's done for. Let me tell you something. He who's been forgiven much loves much. And have you been forgiven much? Then you got no right at all to just, you know, this will be over in a few minutes. I'm not really a singer or whatever. You know what? It's about worshiping in exuberant fashion, excited, energetic, putting something into it. Because I've been forgiven much, therefore I love much. And how about this? Has he been patient with you? Is he patient with you through the week? I'm so amazed lately. I mean, I know the Lord's dealing with me on some things, and he's patient. And he's letting me know I'm patient. And I go, I know. And he's good. How many of you have been good to you? How many of you have any idea how good he is to you? No, you don't. You have no idea how good he is to you. Yesterday, I was over at the gym. We have Champions Ministry in their basketball leagues all day long. And I went, Gabriel, my 11-year-old, he's playing. And so these guys are playing, and they're running back and forth, and they're going after it. And there's this little girl, and she's probably like 3 or 4. She's running up and down in front of the bleachers. Okay, that's you in the story, okay? She's just running up and down, just oblivious, just having fun. You could tell she felt pretty, like her hair was blowing. She's just going along. All of a sudden, all the action, all the play, the ball, everything. And 10 boys running in one direction, coming right where that little girl is. It got slow motion for me. And all of a sudden, you know, boys just start falling on the ground. One knocks the ball away, everything else. And the little girl. Never knew. That's you. You have no idea how good God's been to you. And then her mom up in the bleachers called her over and starts to correct her and tell her, you can't run up there. You got to be over there. And you know what? That's how God does with you. He's protecting you all the time. And you're just oblivious. Because why is he talking to me about this? Because he loves you. Y'all hear me? Because he loves you. But I'm telling you, when we come in here, you have reason. I have reason to give Jesus exuberant worship. He bought it all. He brought it all. You should bring something. And it's not about singing. It's about lifting him up. Now, Mark chapter 12. Let me just say this. What kind of worship does he deserve? What kind of worship does he deserve? Because it's all about him. And if you still think that praise and worship is about you, it's not. I've been telling you this and telling you this first part of the service, we're lifting up. Second part, we listen up. First part, we're giving. Second part, we're receiving. You're receiving now. And it's all about him, that the Lord would be high and lifted up, that he, Jesus Christ, will be high and lifted up. I'm going to tell you what, your life will change. Your whole landscape will change in your life if you'll start to exalt the one who alone needs to be exalted. And if every time we come in, I want it to be the norm when we come in here. It's not about me catching up with my emotions or my day or whatever. It's about me walking in here with an attitude and with an anointing that I'm going to exalt the one who is to be exalted. And that we lift him up. I'm telling you what, Jesus will meet you here, and he'll be taking care of your stuff on the outside while you're here on the inside too. I believe that. In Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30, Jesus answered him and he said, the first of all the commandments, the main thing, is hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Devout Jews have always declared that at least twice a day. It says, and you, say that to me, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, the main thing. In the Amplified Bible, it reads this way, and you shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart and out of and with all your soul, your life, and out of and with all your mind, with your faculty of thought and your moral understanding, and out of and with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment. This is the main thing. It's with your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. It's your inner man. It's your emotional man. It's your intellectual man. It's your physical man that you do all of that, that you worship the Lord in such a way. That is exuberant worship. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up I'll draw all men into myself. I want to end with this quote here. It says, we cannot say Jesus' name often enough. We cannot preach Jesus' gospel passionately enough or sing Jesus' praises loudly enough. Let it be known that in our lives and here at Meadowbrook Church, the Lord is to be high and lifted up.